Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck joins us now. Tim, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel spoke at the NFL Combine yesterday, and ever since then, it has just been a race to try and translate some of the things that they were saying, interpret what they really mean by some of the things that they say. And I always call it trying to interpret Vrabelese, because he's not going to tell you anything, but he might give you a few breadcrumbs, a few drops here and there. But Rand Carthon spoke with the media and said that Ryan Tannehill is a Titan and will be a Titan. The way that I interpret that is he's a Titan until he's not anymore. The way that some people may interpret it is he will be a Titan next year. How do you interpret that?
You know, I actually kind of take him, at his word in terms of he's under contract. I think the likelihood and possibility of finding a way to, I don't think you can trade him. I don't think that, you know, it makes sense to cut him. I don't think, I don't think that there's really, I don't really think that there's another path, I guess is the best way I would say it. And so I think what he's saying is, look, he's under contract, he's here. Look, we're going to keep some options open. You don't know what everybody thinks about Ryan Tannehill or some of these other quarterbacks or any of that stuff. But the way I look at it is, he's got a base salary of $27 million next year, you know, and then, you know, he probably could be cut after that. I just think, and I've kind of maintained this position, I actually believe that Ryan Tannehill is more likely to get extended than to get cut. That's just, now I don't think he's necessarily going to get extended, but I think that is more likely than him being released or them moving on from him somehow.
Now, Tim, with that being said, do you think that if indeed they choose to, release him, resign him or whatnot, do you think that happens sooner rather than later? Or do you think it happens once that first domino fall, whether it be Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers? It seems, and from Aaron Rodgers' situation, the last article that came out, he's taking his time in this situation, and he's going to sit back and think more about it and then make his decision.
Yeah, I do think the first domino to fall is going to be Aaron Rodgers. Don't exactly know his timeline, but it sounds like the Packers do want to put a little pressure on him to, you know, have some type of decision, before the start of free agency. That way the team can address free agency. That way the team can also, start to, make draft plans. So I do think Aaron's the first domino to fall. I don't think anything's going to happen with Derek Carr until the Aaron Rodgers situation is cleared up. And as that relates to Ryan Tannehill, I just don't think that there's a move, right? So D-Mace, I just look at it this way. Let's say that Aaron Rodgers is either in Green Bay, in Las Vegas, or with the New York Jets. Okay, let's just say he's in one of those three spots. Well, if he's, if he's in Las Vegas, then there's shot Derek Carr, ends up with the Jets. All right, then the other quarterbacks that could be on the move are maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, and then potentially other guys that aren't necessarily, super desirable. And even if you were in the market of Jimmy Garoppolo and Derek Carr, I don't know that you can feel confident that that's a better solution than Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. So I don't think anything's going to change. Ryan Tannehill making $27 million this year, $36 million against the cap. It would be nearly $19 million against the cap if you were to just cut him. Like, that's not that expensive for a starting quarterback and somebody that can play at a really high level. Like, I kind of feel like there's a lot of talk about it, but I don't think there's really any validity to it.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, there seems to be another team possibly in the market for a quarterback, and that's Seattle. They are not truly definitive on whether they signed Geno Smith or not. More than likely, probably they do. But with that being the fourth team that potentially needs a quarterback that's drafting high, where do you see the three quarterbacks or four quarterbacks landing? Do you still believe it's Bryce Young number one, or do you now you've had some more time to think, and I know it's not over with, but do you see one of these other quarterbacks being number one?
No, I mean, I think Bryce Young probably ends up being the first guy taken. You know, what's tricky is I don't think a ton separates these quarterbacks, you know, because you can find probably a significant flaw, you know, in each player, which is typically the case. But, you know, I do think Bryce Young probably goes one as long as it's somebody that's, you know, totally comfortable with his size. If it's somebody who's not, I don't know that they're going to see, you know, a ton different, you know, in C.J. Stroud. In fact, they might like other things about C.J. Stroud. But I would think that it's Bryce Young. I think that it goes then C.J. Stroud. And I do think the momentum for Will Levis and Anthony Richardson to go in the top 10 is real. So let's just say, you know, Bryce Young ends up in Houston. Say Houston trades up a spot to get him. That could easily happen. He's the number one overall pick. You know, the Colts, I would think, maybe would feel some pressure if they wanted C.J. Stroud to move up some as well. And so he ends up being the second guy off the board. And so, you know, when that happens, now you have teams. You mentioned Seattle, Carolina, Las Vegas. Those teams now, you know, some combination of that where you say, all right, Carolina and Will Levis. You know, maybe they've got to, you know, do some type of swap with the Seattle Seahawks to protect themselves in order to be able to draft Levis. And then I think that you could see a team like the Raiders maybe staying put, maybe having to move up a little bit to end up taking somebody like Richardson. Now, I think that's, you know, saying all of that, the Raiders to me are a team that, you know, what Aaron Rodgers does, I think could have a lot to do with, you know, what their plan ends up being.
Now, the news came out with Jalen Carter and everything that went on with that. We've seen before where news have come out about individual players right before the draft, whether it be days before the draft or the day of the draft, and it knocked them down, whether it knocked them out of the first round or guys that, you know, basically just didn't get drafted. What do you think happens in this situation, and how does it affect the top, you know, 10 picks?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know. Be careful how you say this, I guess. Like, it's obviously serious. It's obviously, like, we're just getting information now that we did not have, right? And
the only reason I'm asking this, Tim, is based on past history with the NFL and situations that may have had, that may have happened, and how it affected that potential person or the draft.
Yeah, and it's what's weird is, like, you think about Laremy Tunsil, like, goes flying down the draft boards, and he's been a great pro. And so now, like, I think if people had to do it over again, and then think about, I mean, this is terrible, but, like, you know, the draft day picture that came out, you know, and then the mask on and all the stuff and that associated with that, and how things have changed in terms of marijuana testing in the National Football League, how that's viewed now versus how it was viewed then. You know, again, what type of player he's been, like, those things. And next thing you know, like, I think if people had to do it over again, you know, he, you know, wouldn't slide as much as he slid. You know, Lyle Collins, right? You know, a similar thing. So, you know, my guess, D-Mace, is on this. While it is serious, and I certainly do not want to downplay it, I don't think that it affects his draft status.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, this is what I keep running around my brain. I know everybody really hones in on what is said today, but there's still a lot of putting together your puzzle around the league. But you keep coming back to Kansas City's got Mahomes. Buffalo has got Josh Allen. There's a lot of really good teams in the AFC that you know are a given. When you look at the Titans, you got a new GM coming in. You look at their roster. And what makes me think about this a little bit is what the Predators are going through, right? They thought they had a good team for a while. They still had an outside shot, but they came to the conclusion we're not good enough unless it's, you know, unless everything comes together to really make any impact this year, so let's look down the road. I wonder if the Titans will come to that conclusion at some point with their roster. Just with what's out there, all the holes they have to fill, what's the best move?
Yeah, I do feel like for a team that 2 years ago was the number one seed coming out of the AFC, I feel like they seem far off from some of these other AFC teams. Like, I think it's nearly impossible to feel like they're not. And so I think when you're in that situation, you go, all right, well, like, how do we catch them? And I believe that's why there's so much conversation around Ryan Tannehill, because I think there are so many people that are like, well, he's not Patrick Mahomes, he's not Josh Allen, he's not Joe Burrow, so look, here's the deal. We got to go get one of those guys, otherwise we're not competing. I don't really believe that that's the case, you know, from the standpoint of, like, you don't have to have one of those guys to win the Super Bowl every year, right? Like, we've seen quarterbacks make it to the Super Bowl that weren't those guys. We've seen guys, play well enough to win the Super Bowl that weren't those guys. So I think at that point you think you have to look at it and go, all right, well, how do we just keep improving? Like, how do we keep improving where we don't have the quarterback that those people have, but our receivers are better than theirs. Our offensive line is better than theirs. Our defensive line is better than theirs. You know, we have secondary players that everyone's afraid of. I think you've got to do that. And the Titans don't feel like they're close to that. They just don't. And, you know, part of that is, really good players that they've had are getting older. Part of that is guys that they've drafted have not turned out the way that, they maybe hoped that they would. And then they've traded AJ Brown away, and, you know, that looks really bad now. So it feels far, and it does feel like a rebuild. And I don't really know if there's another way to put it.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, we appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week.
You got it. See you guys.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate you. Interesting comments from Tim, and I want to get into those. But first, Predators lose last night to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Almost said Pirates. Pittsburgh Penguins. And another bombshell trade from the Predators. So we'll get into what that means for the Predators coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.